We're in Joshua chapter 4 this morning as we move our way through the first part of Joshua. You know, we set up memorials and statues and holidays and festivals to remember historic events. In the United States, we even have a holiday we call Memorial Day. On the last Monday of May each year, we're supposed to remember something or someone. Do you remember what we're supposed to remember on the Remembrance Day? We memorialize those who have lost their lives in war on behalf of our country. It's part of our patriotism. Not to celebrate war, but to express our gratitude to those who have given their lives for our freedom. We also have artists, you know, craft statues of remarkable people to remember their contributions to our world. And then when we get dissatisfied with their contribution or the social setting changes, we remove those statues and get some more. Maybe we should be careful what we build statues to. This morning, we've practiced baptism. It is an act of obedience that represents visually what God is doing in our lives. We acknowledge His Lordship as our Savior and Lord. We remember His death and His resurrection on our behalf. And we remember how He has cleansed us and raised us to new life. Baptism is a great way to remember what God has done in our lives and in the lives of others and what He is doing. And when we feel unworthy, when our faith is waning or we're frightened, we can remember that baptism event. We can remember what God has done. We can be reassured that He has redeemed us and saved us from sin. And we remember that it is by His work, not our own, that we're saved from that sin. We remember His completely faithful love for us. Now this morning we're looking at a story in Joshua chapter 4 in which Israel was told to use some stones to build a memorial to remind the nation what God was doing there at the Jordan River. In the first three chapters of Joshua, we have read about how God prepared the nation to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. We read 2 weeks ago how God stopped the flow of the river 18 miles or so upstream, and the whole nation walked across on dry ground. We read about how God told the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant out into the river, and the river was still flowing at flood stage until the priest stepped in the water, and then it dried up, and he told him to go and stand in the middle of the riverbed while the whole nation crossed. That God Himself led the way in a visible fashion with the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which was the mercy seat of God. So let's begin here in chapter 4 and read about how He told them, what He told them to do with these 12 stones. Joshua 4, verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. And we'll pause there for a moment. He told them, pick up 12 stones from the middle of the river, close to the Ark of the Covenant, right there where God was standing, and bring them out, one stone for each tribe of Israel. Put the stone on your shoulder and carry it over to where you're going to camp, and then build a monument. Now, I imagine, take note here, this is my imagination, this is not scripture, but I imagine 12 strapping young men, one from each tribe, marching out there and trying to outdo one another with the biggest stone. I don't know if it happened that way, but you can imagine that it might. And you would want to choose the most impressive stone you could find to build a memorial. Like I said, that's my imagination. But imagine these 12 men picking up the largest stone maybe that they could find and putting it on their shoulder and carrying it out of the river, out of the riverbed. Now, there is a little bit of confusion about verse 9. I suspect as I was reading in the NIV, some of you were reading in ESV or New King James or something like that, and you said, wait, his reads differently. So here's the deal. The NIV says that Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the river. Some other translations say that there were 12 stones set up also in the midst of the river. So either there were two stacks of stones, one in the river and one out at the campsite, or there's a problem with translating an ancient preposition. Either way, it's God's story. And we have this monument built at the campsite of 12 stones. God gave them simple instructions to create a meaningful and lasting reminder of His miraculous work. He said, choose one man from each tribe. Every tribe was important to this event. Every tribe is important to the whole. God wanted them to be unified in this action. Take the stones from the middle of the river. Why couldn't they just gather up some stones out there in the valley? You wouldn't have to carry them as far. I mean, surely there were other rocks there that they could have built a monument. But he said, no, carry stones from the middle of the river that I just dried up. Right where the presence of the Lord was represented with the Ark of the Covenant. Get some stones from that spot and bring them out. Now, another just practical matter is river stones look different than the ones you would find out in the field or at a bluff, right? The river stones would be rounder, smoother. And if you're walking down a valley away from the river and you come up on a stack of round, smooth stones, the logical person is going to say, those came from the river. How did they get over here? What's this about? So God had them build a memorial that way. When you come to these stones in the future, he said, tell your children about God causing the water to pile up, the riverbed to dry up, and all of us, all 12 tribes, all of the Israelites walked across on dry ground where the river had been flooding. God told our ancestor Abraham that he would give us this land. Generations ago, he made that promise, and now He's given it to us. God told us that He would go before us and fight our battles for us. And He has. He dried up the river. Can you imagine telling your children and your grandchildren this story and telling them, look, our God is faithful. He loves us. He has provided for us these many years. And He continues to provide for us His faithfulness never ceases. His miracles are out of this world. We can trust the Lord. We can put our faith in Him. Remember that, children. That's what these stones are here to remind us of. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, which they already had in their law, it said to them, "Hear, O Israel, listen, the Lord your God is the God. Impress these things on your children. Talk about them when you sit down and when you walk along the road." You see, God gave them instruction to how to train up their children, and He told them to use these kinds of memorials to do so. Remember what God has done. Tell God's story. What do we call it today? There's a church word we like to use today about systems, and I think I heard Mr. Hogan say it earlier. When we tell our children God's story so that they can learn to trust Him, what do we call that? Discipleship. Training people up to be followers of Jesus Christ. It's how we learn. We need to tell the stories in the Bible. We need to tell of our own experiences with God. It helps strengthen our faith, and it helps other people trust God. Now, later in this chapter, we learn that this river crossing happened in the first month of the Hebrew calendar, on the 10th day. Now, this was their calendar was based on the moon. The cycles of the moon, a lunar calendar. And there, you know, it didn't start when we start our calendar today in January. We use a solar calendar. They were using a lunar calendar. By the way, when did Israel start calling that particular lunar cycle the first month of the year? You remember in Exodus when God was telling them at the last plague, He said, "I'm going to bring death on the firstborn of all of Egypt, but I want you to paint blood of the lamb on your doorpost, you Hebrew people, and the death angel will pass over your homes. And the next day you will leave here." And He told them to slay the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, and cook it hastily. Eat with your shoes on and your bags packed, for you're leaving for freedom tomorrow. That's the Passover. And He told them, "From now on, this will be your first month. I want you to start counting from this day, from now on. So the rest of your history, you will be remembering how I brought you out of slavery in Egypt." The Passover. And here they are on the 10th day of the month. By the way, that Passover happened on the 14th day of the month. And still to this day, Passover is meant to be celebrated on the 14th day of the month. People, the Jewish community still observes that by a lunar cycle. And by the way, that happens on the first full moon on or after the spring equinox. Now, do we still observe, does the Christian church observe anything in relation to that? I heard some people saying, Easter. That's exactly right. That's why Easter isn't on the same date of the calendar every year by our calendar, because we celebrate it in relation to Passover. Why do we do that? Because Jesus died on Passover day and He was raised to life on the first day of the week, the Sunday after Passover. And that's when we celebrate Easter. Now, isn't all that coincidental? No, it's not coincidental. It's God's plan. He laid all this out from the beginning of time. He instructed Israel all about the Passover so they would be able to recognize the Savior when He came. And we look back and we remember what Jesus did for us on that Passover day when He hung on the cross and when He was raised to life on that Sunday. And so we still are celebrating. It is like a memorial stone to remind us what God has done and what He is doing. seems like God's pretty amazing. How he works all this out. What we see as history or ancient history is God's plan unfolding. He led Israel across the river just in time to set up camp, to build this stone memorial, and celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the month. Skip over in that in chapter 4 to verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" Look at verse 24. "He did this so that all the peoples of earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Should we erect monuments to the Lord's work today? If they be to the Lord's work. Not to ourselves, but to the Lord's work. It is good to remember. What kind of images do you see that are meant to remind us about God working in our lives? What about even in this auditorium? We have three crosses back here over the baptism waters. There are stained glass windows have crosses and Bibles and doves. What are we supposed to remember about all that? Do you, any of you have cross jewelry on? Crosses on the wall of your house? Well, what about the second commandment that says, "Do not make a graven image"? Do not make an image to worship. Are we in conflict there? Not if they're designed to help us remember the Lord's work. We don't worship these crosses in the stained glass. We don't worship this imagery. It is meant to remind us of what God has done and what he is doing. And we worship the Lord. We worship the Creator, not the creation. Sometimes we get off track with that, and we get weird religious ideas. I mean, sometimes we just get strange about things like that. And it's probably because of something that's happened that makes us feel really special, and we get to focusing on the wrong things. And sometimes it creates whole new wings of religion. And it can happen real simply. I want to tell you a story about this little ink pen right here. It says on it, "Strong and courageous." It's a nice little pen. Writes well. It was given to me by another pastor. And as I started preaching in Joshua, and the first command of Joshua is be strong and courageous, I thought, hey, I ought to wear this pen while I'm learning about Joshua. You know, I'll keep that in my pocket. Reminder, be strong and courageous. But what if that pen becomes more than that? What if I start seeing it as a good luck piece? And I have to have it to preach. Or maybe I think, well, the pen's bringing me luck. Or what if I need a loan and I go see Joel? And I think I need to take my special pen when I go see Joel. And even though maybe my credit's not up to speed and I don't have the right kind of things in place, Joel, because he's a good guy, gives me a loan, and I leave there thinking, well, it's a good thing I had my lucky pen. You see, and I begin to put faith in the pen, the image, the creation. You see how we do that? That's a silly little example. But it's what we do. We begin to put our faith in the wrong things, when all along we're meant to worship the Creator, put our faith and our trust in the Lord. He told them to build the monument, to build the memorial, so that all the peoples on earth would know His power, and that we, His people, would revere Him and put our faith in Him. They can be simple reminders about God's command, about His work, or we can begin to worship the wrong things and put our faith in the wrong things. The stack of rocks from the middle of the river had been taken up from right where the Ark of the Covenant was. It says they went before the Ark. I think that doesn't mean in time. It means they went in front of the Ark and they picked up the stones. And those stones became a memorial of God's miraculous provision. They followed God's presence into a flooding river, and the river dried up. God stood there in their midst while they crossed. That's a good thing to remember and to celebrate. And it should drive us to worship. So I believe it is right for us to set up memorials for the purpose of remembering who God is, what He has done, and what He is doing. It's good for us to practice things like baptism and the Lord's Supper to remind us of God's work on our behalf, to remind us of His faithfulness, to worship the Creator, not the creation. But I would just ask you to examine your practices and make sure you're putting your faith in the Lord. Not stuff, not a good luck piece, not your favorite rabbit's foot, or even grandma's Bible. It's good to read from. It's good to remember. But the Lord is the one who loves us and takes care of us. Let us use these things to tell God's story, to tell of God's story from the Bible and God's story in our lives, so that our faith is strengthened and other people are encouraged to follow the Lord. Rehearsing God's story brings us to faith and to worship. That's the memorial stones. Now, we're getting this in little pieces, this whole crossing the river bit. It's leading to even bigger things. So stay with us. Read ahead. Do some study in Joshua. And remember, be strong and courageous, whether you have the right pen or not. Let's sing. Music team, come on up.